listening to What the Dev, the weekly podcast of ST Times. And now, here's Jenna Barron, news editor at ST Times.
Hello, everyone. Today, I'm speaking with Martin Reynolds, field CTO at Harness, about the disconnect that exists between developers and FinOps. Harness recently published a survey of 700 engineers in the US and UK that found that 52% of respondents believe they're wasting money on cloud infrastructure. So today we're going to get into why development teams are feeling like they're not being efficient with their cloud spend. Thanks for taking the time to have this conversation with me.
Oh, no, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So one interesting thing in the report is that 55% of developers said their cloud purchasing commitments are based on guesswork. So what is holding them back from having the proper information to be able to make more informed decisions?
You know, that's actually a really interesting question. And a lot of it is really around, you know, when they have visibility of that data, a lot of that data around, you know, how much something costs when it's running in production and customers are using it comes after the fact. And it's difficult for them to understand those costs because they don't see the costs all the way through the life cycle and what the impact of the software they're releasing has. So when they're guessing, they're literally saying, I think it's going to use this much. Because they just don't know, and they don't have the raw data to back it up with up front, because cost isn't in the process from day one, from design forwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of similarly, another finding was that less than half of developers have data on their idle cloud resources, their unused resources, or their over or under provisioned workloads. So is that kind of a similar reason why they don't have that data too?
Yeah, it's visibility. And also, you know, idle resources, especially, is one of those things that it's sometimes hard to spot as a human, if that makes sense, because, you know, just because it's idle now, you don't know if that's idle all the time. You have to start going through, you know, and computers in general, but AI especially is great at that kind of thing of saying, hey, I can see that nobody's used this for 2 weeks. You should really be turning it off, or nobody's used it for a day, or whatever it is. And sometimes it's hard to gather that kind of hard information, but they just don't see it. There's no notification coming into their work stack that says, hey, you've got these idle resources, or even better, just automatically turn them off.
So in an ideal world, what would be like the ideal scenario for having developers and FinOps teams be perfectly aligned?
I think there's a couple of things, and I feel like I have a little bit of an advantage here because I used to run part of my responsibilities in a previous role was running the cloud cost function across engineering teams and helping them have that visibility. But, you know, really it is actually about having shared outcomes, you know. So often, you know, businesses want to be profitable. You know, I think it mentions in the report our CFO, John Bonney, talks about how cloud spend's quite often like the second biggest thing on a company's line items of spend, you know, salaries and then cloud cost spend. I think like having that kind of overall vision of how cloud costs should be managed and having it shared, not just for those FinOps teams who are trying to get the right balance of cost and performance of the application, but also, you know, making sure that the teams understand what that balance is, you know. And where I've seen this work is where, you know, they get that visibility all the way to the left. So engineers understand what their software is costing them in development, what it's costing them in testing, and what it costs them when it moves to production. They have that visibility. They understand what that is, but they also understand what the goals of the business are in terms of managing that cost, you know, and helping them be aligned on their incentives, right? So one of the things I've seen that worked really well, for example, is, you know, actually saying to the product teams, the product managers, and saying, hey, this is how much revenue your product brings in, and your cloud cost can't be more than this percentage of that revenue. And then that then feeds into an alignment of, okay, if we add this new thing, how much is it going to cost, and how are we going to balance that against, you know, what this product makes, for example, and having it across all the, you know, the whole thing. Because then when that's being designed, the engineers are aware of what the overall goal is and what the scope is for they have of cost for what they're building, and they can design with cost in mind. That doesn't mean, you know, inhibit things based on the cost. It just means balancing those two things out, we're going to bring in more revenue, but we're also going to do this in an efficient way so that, you know, we're not wasting money on cloud spend.
Are there like processes or tools that development teams could put into place to kind of facilitate that behavior?
I think so. I know so. For sure there is ways that you can bring that in. Really, I think having an alignment again between that FinOps and the development and products allows you to bring some of those costs forwards and doing things like, you know, hey, I'm going to provision this infrastructure, telling engineers what it's going to cost them before it deploys, you know, automating that cost estimation right before it goes in. Actually, you know, cloud cost management tools that will actually drive back the anomalies instantly, not, you know, a week or a month or 2 months later, saying, hey, this is happening now. Maybe we should look at why this is happening and solve for it faster. I think, you know, really just embedding it into the kind of the build and the deployment process and then the ongoing testing and everything so that that visibility is there and pushing up that kind of view around in a way that makes sense to engineers too. Like, you know, quite often there's a bunch of resources underneath the covers, especially, you know, with this modern propensity towards, you know, platform engineering, where a lot of the infrastructure is managed for the engineers and they're just putting an application into it. But understanding what their cost is, you know, for their application, their service, versus just seeing everything that goes on underneath and all the networking costs and everything, rolling that up to something that makes sense to them, certainly makes sense. And you know, cloud cost management tools can absolutely do that in a way that's automated and governed for them.
Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about the role of automation, like for instance, like automatically shutting down idle processes to save costs. Like how can implementing more automation help address some of these issues?
So that is actually one of my favorite topics, and mostly because when I was doing this myself, you know, that automation of idle resources and shutting down test environments automatically, you know, really, really helps drive costs down and makes a saving, especially in that route to getting it to the customer, right? In all those pre-production environments, it can really make a difference in shutting those down. And I can give you a specific example. We, you know, set up some rules around, you know, if things were idle, they would turn off and then, you know, they turn on automatically. So a bit like the stop start in your car, if you still have a petrol car, you know, you stop at the lights, engine shuts off, you push the gas pedal, it turns on. You know, that's kind of how you want your cloud resources to work, especially in those, you know, non-customer facing environments. You know, we had some teams that would say, no, these environments are used all the time. And then we'd show them the data and say, well, actually, it's just used every 2 weeks when you do your testing. So, you know, and turning off, you know, a bunch of servers and networking and ingress and all the things that go with it, you know, to save money can have a huge impact in the overall cost.
I also wanted to ask about AI, because like as development teams start experimenting with it, they're having to spin up more infrastructure, they're having to like pay for tokens and things like that without maybe having insight into the overall cost that they're racking up. So how does that factor into this cloud spend and just like spending disconnect?
Yeah, I think it's another one of those. It's like another dimension on top of what is already there. But you're right, it can be disconnected, especially when it's credits versus what's actually going on under the covers and whether they're buying it from a third party or, you know, provisioning on their own cloud infrastructure. I think, again, being able to highlight out what that costs against the overall cost that they're spending so that they can see, you know, how that works is really key, and highlighting out that the new thing is costing this much, right? And you know, because there has to be a value conversation. You know, teams love to try new things. You know, engineers love to innovate. They want to try all these new things. But, you know, there has to be a balance between, you know, giving value ultimately to the customer, but also doing it in a way that is cost efficient. So I think having that visibility up front and seeing even what it's costing when they're testing and playing with it and learning that technology will help them understand the implication of what it will cost them when they roll that out at scale. You know, we've got 20 people in a team using this right now. What's that going to be like when we have 20,000 people using it constantly. What does that cost look like? And is what we're going to charge for it actually going to bring that money back in? You know, there's a real balance there. And it's just another layer on top, you know, on top of the resources that they're using.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So going back to the report real quick, is there like maybe like a key finding that you think that people should really come away with?
I think there's two for me personally. I think one is the kind of, you know, the acknowledgement of how much is spent, if that makes sense. I think, you know, from Gartner, it was like 211 billion, trillion, sorry, you know, like across the whole everybody's cloud spend everywhere, and roughly that 20-22% of that is waste. You know, even if you're in an organization that's spending 10 million, that's still 2 million of waste. So like understanding that there is waste there as like the driver, if you like, the incentive to do something. And I think the second thing is, you know, for me, that kind of gap, and it comes out in multiple metrics and the findings, but that gap between, you know, how much engineers and teams are aware of that cost, and where the waste is, you know, and the tools that they have available to them. You know, it's something that is definitely achievable. It's something that shifting left can really help with. And I think there's multiple findings across the piece that really drive that. And I think, I guess the final thing is, you know, that kind of final metric that I think is in the report that says, you know, 86% of people believe that AI can help them do that better, because AI is great at finding patterns, you know, and explaining what is going on in a way that's meaningful to the consumer, you know, contextualizing that information for them so that they can act on it in a meaningful way. And so I think, you know, when you put those three things together, that's like the real core message of that is kind of, and my favorite part of it is like, you know, here's the motivator and here's some of the things you can do to really take that on board. And, you know, looking at a cloud cost management tool that can integrate that in and help you take that, if you like, almost cultural transformation to embed that cost from all the way to the left to the right and drive value for your business is going to make everybody successful.
So real quick before we end, do you want to tell our listeners about Harness and what you guys do?
Absolutely. So Harness is, we're a AI native platform for complete software delivery. So the whole software development lifecycle, and, you know, our goal is ultimately to make it easier for engineering and DevOps teams to release applications into production. We use AI and machine learning to kind of monitor the quality of deployments, you know, roll back failed ones. We save time by reducing scripting and having, you know, extensive automation and doing a lot of stuff out the box. So that, you know, engineers can essentially get their evenings, weekends back and just, you know, do the job and release software safely and reliably. We also accelerate, you know, infrastructure cost saving by up to 60% and, you know, can help decrease time to change by up to 90%, depending on, you know, what needs to be done.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and diving into this research a bit further.
No problem. Thank you very much again for having me.